In New York later today, the UN Security Council is expected to be asked to debate the Goldstone Report, the result of a UN Human Rights Council commission to investigate Israel's invasion of Gaza earlier this year. The report, headed by the former South African judge Richard Goldstone, found that both sides, Israel and Hamas, had committed war crimes. The Israeli government spokesman Mark Regev is in Melbourne at the moment. I asked him first why Israel had flatly refused to cooperate with the work of the Goldstone Commission.
I think because clearly we saw that it was going to be terribly biased from the very beginning, and there was little point in cooperating.
But didn't not cooperating make it more likely that it would be biased against you?
Well, I'm not sure there was much of a chance anyway. I mean, they approached a number of people before they approached Goldstone. The most famous, I think, of the people they approached Mary Robinson, the former president of Ireland, former UN human rights commissioner. And she refused because she said the mandate of Goldstone was just so biased, openly, extremely biased, that there was no point.
Richard Goldstone has a very high reputation from his previous work. He is, in fact, I believe, Jewish by origin himself. Why were you suspicious of him?
Well, it doesn't have to be personal, but frankly, I would have more respect for him had he followed the lead of Mary Robinson. I mean, this Human Rights Council of the United Nations, I mean, it's called a Human Rights Council, but the people who sit there are countries with atrocious human rights records, countries like Syria, Sudan, Somalia, Saudi Arabia. And they've used the council, instead of talking about human rights, they use it as a vehicle just to attack my country.
You could say that about the whole United Nations. It's got a lot of bad countries in it, but you still cooperate with the United Nations.
But the council is unfortunately dominated by these sort of countries who, as I say, have got atrocious human rights records and just use it. I mean, they've in the last few years since they've been established, they've published some 25 resolutions, 20 of them have been pointed against Israel. And I'd remind you, Israel's the only country in the Middle East that has a free press, that has a free trade union movement, that has free universities, that has elections that really matter. I mean, the whole idea that this Human Rights Council is totally focused in this anti-Israel agenda, it's not something that just I say. Both the previous Secretary General of the United Nations, Kofi Annan, and the current Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, have both criticized the council for its anti-Israel obsession.
But they didn't criticize the Goldstone Commission, did they? And the Goldstone Commission was apparently even-handed in that it said that both sides had committed war crimes.
Well, I'd remind you, if I could, that all the democratic countries that sit on the Human Rights Council, Japan, South Korea, Canada, the European countries, they all opposed the Goldstone mandate. They refused to support it. And I think a lot of those countries today are trying to bury this document as quickly as possible, because everyone understands the danger in adopting this report.
But you've already said that you don't accept that it should have happened in the first place. But let's talk about its conclusions. As I say, that it said that both sides had committed war crimes.
First of all, do you know what they actually did? They came into the Gaza Strip, a territory controlled by a very violent and authoritarian regime run by Hamas, and they conducted public hearings. Now, having a public hearing in that sort of circumstances, it's like having a Stalinist show trial. They heard exactly what they wanted to hear. They heard all this testimony just condemning Israel. Well, of course, no one can say anything against Hamas, because if they do, Goldstone leaves, Hamas will, of course, take immediate violent retribution against the people who'd speak out against them. It was just a show trial. It was a travesty.
Let's just talk about the specifics, though. What about the allegation that your troops actually killed civilians on occasions deliberately?
Civilians were unfortunately caught up in the crossfire in Gaza. That's a fact. And we're actually investigating this ourselves. We've got some 100 investigations going on at the moment. More than 20 have already reached the stage where the military police have launched a criminal investigation, because we do hold ourselves to a higher standard. But the assumption that Israel as a policy targeted innocent civilians is simply not true. We made every effort during that conflict not to target civilians. We made every effort to avoid seeing civilians caught up in the crossfire. We dropped leaflets. We warned people to leave combat areas. We even made cell phone calls to all the numbers in the Gaza directory. We made every effort possible to avoid seeing civilians.
By saying that, you seem to be prejudging the efforts of the inquiries you've just been talking about. You're saying that they will find your soldiers not guilty.
Well, I don't know, because there can, of course, be specific circumstances where soldiers acted not according to their orders. But if you ask me, was there a policy take every effort possible to avoid civilian casualties, there was such a policy. That was clearly the orders given to soldiers going into combat.
Was white phosphorus used as an incendiary device?
Yes, it was, and that's totally in accordance with international law. NATO forces use white phosphorus in places like Afghanistan and other places. You're allowed to use white phosphorus for signalling. You can use it for making smoke cover. I think I wouldn't be surprised if the Australian military uses it as well.
It's not legal to use it as an incendiary device against people, though, is it?
Oh, definitely not, and we didn't.
Mark Regev, the Israeli government spokesman, speaking to me from Melbourne, and you can hear the unedited interview on our website from this evening.